Welcome everyone to this podcast. Today we have with us Mr. Sriram Narayan, the author of Agile IT Org Design. Welcome, Sriram.
Thanks for having me, Vinod.
So Sriram, before we start off, could you tell us about the genesis of this book? What prompted you to write about this topic?
I've been consulting for a while now, and what I have found is that mostly when we talk about agility, we tend to focus on team level agility. So getting our engineering techniques right, getting our delivery processes right. And they are all important and essential. But when it comes to overall IT responsiveness, when it comes to reputation of IT in the eyes of the business, I have found that team level agility by itself is not enough. We need something more, and that's what I call as organizational agility. And one way to look at it is, you know, we start off by doing say Scrum, and if an organization chooses to go on the agile transformation journey, it can start off doing Scrum at the level of teams. And when that is done right, yes, Scrum will take you to UAT, but it won't take you to production, because for that you need to get IT ops involved, and that's where DevOps and continuous delivery come in. So that's like the next stage in the progression towards agility. But DevOps itself, when done right, is not just about automation and deployment pipelines and so on. It's actually about a bit of reorganization, because IT operations people and developers need to work as part of one single build it and run it team. And so it is often beyond the scope of individual managers to bring about this sort of reorganization. And that is still, in my mind, only the second step towards overall IT and business agility. So when you do DevOps, one way of looking at it is you made the team cross-functional with respect to developers and IT operations. The next stage in this journey is to bring product management into the team. In many enterprises, I have seen product management is set up as a separate organization, different from IT, and it leads to some amount of dysfunction. So continuing on this journey, the next stage is moving towards product-centric teams, which are cross-functional, outcome-oriented teams, and this calls for a greater degree of reorganization. And finally, when we talk of organizational agility, it's about looking at how we govern IT, how we fund projects, what are the metrics, targets, and incentives mechanisms that we use, because all of these things have a bearing on overall agility. And so these topics, I found that they are not well addressed in any book, and that's what prompted me to write this.
Excellent, Sriram. You did touch upon this. One of the really good topics on your book is the distinction you have made between activity-oriented teams and outcome-oriented teams. Could you explain a bit more about the differences?
Right. So before I talk about outcome and activity oriented teams, I want to talk a little bit about why we need to make this distinction in the first place. So I talk about, you know, agility needing a sort of free flowing collaboration between teams, which is not necessarily scripted. By scripted collaboration, I mean if you have these sort of scheduled meetings and brown bag sessions and so on, they're sort of scripted collaboration. But true IT responsiveness, market responsiveness requires unscripted collaboration, where teams need to be able to just on an ad hoc basis request for some level of collaboration, and people need to be able to empowered enough to adjust their priorities accordingly, and they need to be aware of what's really important so that they can do the correct adjustments. And overall, this calls for, agility is after all about, you know, individuals and interactions, and what sort of individuals and what sort of interactions. I call it as motivated individuals and unconstrained interactions. And this really calls for a workforce that is intrinsically motivated towards whatever they are doing and not extrinsically motivated by some promise of bonuses or other kind of incentives. And so Dan Pink wrote a book about this called Drive that I reference quite a bit in my book, where he says intrinsic motivation needs a climate of autonomy, mastery, and purpose. So teams need to be somewhat autonomous and they need to have some sort of meaningful purpose that then intrinsically motivates them to collaborate effectively. Now, given that you want to have autonomous teams with some meaningful purpose, then the question is, what sort of teams can be given autonomy without too much risk? And what sort of purpose makes sense, right? So, for example, that's where this whole differentiation of outcome-oriented teams and activity-oriented teams come into picture. Because if a team is responsible for a business outcome, then it is easier to give that team autonomy and say, you know what, you are free to do, go about your work in any way you want, as long as you are responsible for this outcome. Right? Because if they achieve the outcome, it's useful in its own right. Whereas if it's an activity-oriented team, like let's say some sort of deployment team or testing team or so on, the success of that team by itself does not ensure the outcome. And therefore, it's somewhat risky to give autonomy to such a team and say, you know, do the work as you choose, but they will just optimize for the most efficient deployment service or the most efficient testing service, and that might not really be what's needed for the overall business outcome.
Thanks, Sriram, for that. But if you look at large enterprises where thousands of employees are working, you really cannot create an outcome-oriented team that is small enough mm-hmm. for you to be able to take that forward in terms of scale. Mm-hmm. So what you would typically see is the outcome for a team may just end up being an activity for their higher-ups. How do you balance between what is an outcome for a team at the ground level becoming an activity for someone who is higher-up?
That's a great question, Vinod. And I think we can take the example of how we split a feature into stories and tasks when we go about agile software development and use that same principle to design organizational outcomes and see whether they are degenerating into activities. Yeah. So a feature is somewhat analogous to a high level business outcome, but we don't develop the feature all at once. We try to split it into stories. And in the same way, high-level business outcomes can be split into sub-outcomes. But we need to be careful about how we split, because if we split it the wrong way, they may turn into activities. Just like it is possible to split a feature in such a way that instead of stories, you end up with tasks. And in the world of software development, we have these mnemonics called Invest and Smart that help guide us in this process. And I think a subset of those mnemonics can be used. So outcomes need to have, when we talk about organization design, outcomes need to follow TVIN. That is, they need to be testable, valuable, independently achievable, and negotiable. Yeah. And as long as we make sure that we are entrusting a team with something that is testable, that is independently achievable by that team, it should not have too many dependencies with other teams, and the output is valuable in its own right, and it is somewhat negotiable, then we can continue to split high level outcomes into sub outcomes which are carried out by manageable size teams and still not degenerate into the level of activities.
Thanks for that, Sriram. But I do have one more question in the same topic. Again, going back to large enterprises, let's pick up an e-commerce application, an application where there are search modules, there are catalogs, there are payments. What we see today is organizations have created their structures such that they call it productization, but essentially it is creating a level of domain expertise in specific areas. So there are teams that are specialized in the payment module. There are teams that are specialized in the search module. But from a business owner perspective, if someone needs to realize a feature that needs to go out into the market, it will require collaboration between, let's say, the search team, as well as the payments team, and perhaps the catalog team as well. How do you reconcile between this need for subject matter competency for such teams, and at the same time, be able to have that outcome orientation? Because to realize a feature such as this, you probably are talking about 3 or 4 teams, which in its entirety may comprise of more than 50 or 60 members.
So yeah, that's a good example, Vinod. What I've seen a common organization I've seen is that people tend to, first of all, separate application teams from the underlying services teams in enterprise architecture. And that that makes sense to an extent. So, but as long as those teams are not very, for example, if you're going to create like a team for microservice, then I'm not so sure of that. But on the other hand, if you say, catalog search is a broad area, and there are a number of components servicing catalog search. There is the indexing, there is product detail, and so on. And so I create a backend service team which is responsible for catalog search, and another team which is responsible for, say, shopping cart, and so on. That's okay. And the application teams which are consuming these services, they are also separate teams in their own respect. So there is maybe overall an e-commerce application team. So taking this example, your question is, if there is a new feature that requires the application team to make changes, but also it requires the services team to make changes.
Correct.
Then in that case, I wouldn't recommend creating a separate team to just own this feature and build it. Instead, what I would recommend is, some sort of solutioning exercise where, first of all, you need to nominate somebody like a feature owner for this thing, who has the overall, end-to-end concept of this solution. And in that solutioning workshop, representatives from all the required teams get together, they conceive of the solution end-to-end, and then they figure out for themselves which pieces of this solution belongs to their buckets. Yeah. And once they have done so, basically split that feature into stories, and you've kind of classified which stories belong to what team. Then it's a matter of prioritization and coordination to get that done. And that is helped by having somebody nominated as a feature owner for the lifetime of the development of that feature.
Okay, that's interesting you mentioned that. So you said for the lifetime of the development of that feature. Yeah. But post that feature has been developed, it will go back to the support systems of the respective modules.
Yes, and even during development, they are not being done by one team, right? We've already split it into different stories, and we have said these stories belong with the application team, these stories belong with the search team, and so on. So it's still the respective teams, they are executing it. But yes, while they are in development, there is a feature owner who provides some sort of common oversight for all of this to ensure that the different pieces fit in nicely with each other. But the teams themselves are build it and run it teams. It was implicit there. They are DevOps teams where they are responsible for the production monitoring and iterating on whatever they have built. So yes, if you put it in production and you realize after some time that you have to iterate on that feature, then yes, the feature owner would again come into the picture and decide what is the nature of that iteration.
Sure. So Sriram, you mentioned feature owner. Mm-hmm. Is this role the same as product owner that a lot of us have come to understand, or are you expecting a different skill set for this feature owner?
So the reason I did not say product owner is because assuming, I mean, once these teams have been set up in such a way that they are each responsible for a business outcome or a sub outcome, each team needs to have somebody like an outcome owner who is very close to a product owner. So the application team would have somebody who is like a product owner for that application, and the catalog search team would have somebody who is like a product owner for that catalog search functionality, right? It's probably I think it's difficult to operationalize an overall product owner for the whole e-commerce platform. Typically, the way it happens is once you've come up with these long-lived teams, then you have a product owner at the level of those teams. Whereas this feature owner that I described does not have a team to himself or herself, right? It just came into being because this feature required coordination between several teams, and it required a bit of work to be done by several teams. So this is more of a temporary role, whereas the product owner is a much more long-lived role.
Sure. Now, coming to my last question for this podcast. So in your ideal Agile IT organization, is there a role for a project or a program manager?
So in one respect, like in the beginning, I talked about, moving from Scrum to DevOps and continuous delivery, and then from there on to product-centric teams. Now, this is a new notion in enterprise IT, the notion of a product-centric team. Enterprise IT has typically executed using the projects model of execution. And that's why in that model, project managers and program managers were very key people. But to some extent, when we move to a product-centric organization, the center of gravity shifts somewhat to product owners, right? You still need people who are responsible for delivery and who can anticipate problems, navigate dependencies, and make sure that the team is not diverging in different directions and so on. And in that sense, yes, you still need somebody responsible for delivery. Now, whether you call that person a scrum master or a project manager is different organizations do it differently. And with respect to program manager, if you take the earlier example, the feature owner sort of thing is little bit like a program manager, because it is a small program of work that needs to be executed by different teams, and it has to come together for that feature to go live. And in that sense, a feature owner has some overlap with what a program manager would traditionally do.
Sure. All right, Sriram, thanks a lot for giving us this time, and here is wishing you all the very best for the book.
Hey, thanks for your wishes, and it was a pleasure answering your questions on this podcast. Thank you. And so if you've enjoyed this podcast and wish to know more, you could visit the companion website for the book at www.agileorgdesign.com. And over there, you will also find discount codes if you're interested in purchasing the book.